Well, as we come to the Word of God, you may like to look up Mark 4 there. I think it was page 709, was it? Thank you. In the Pew Bibles there. Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. Oh, it's up on the screen. That's great. And as we come, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you speak to us through your Word, the Bible. And we pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts and our wills to understand what you're saying to us today and to respond in a way that brings much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we grow the church? How do we grow God's church? Well, many things are actually needed to grow God's church, both in numbers and in maturity. One needs people who'll tell other people about Jesus. They're called evangelists. God's church needs mature members who live pure lives and are a witness to Christ by their words and their behaviour. God's church needs good leaders who can lead God's people. And God's church needs to be unified, not fighting or competing with each other. But today I want to focus on one essential that's the foundation of God's church, that's absolutely essential for growth, that every evangelist needs, that every mature member needs as they serve God in unity, that every leader needs. And that essential is the Word of God. Without the Word of God, God's church will die. And unless the Word of God is taught and read and memorized and sung, unless it's taken to heart and believed and acted upon, then God's church will never grow. But when the Word of God is read, taught, and memorized and sung, God's church will grow into a beautiful, strong tree, just like that tree we read about earlier in Psalm 1. Because God's word is like water. Without water, we end up dying, don't we? Water gives us life. And you know as well as anybody that if you haven't had a drink for a while, you begin to get a bit sort of clumsy or forgetful, a bit lightheaded. And we wouldn't dream of not eating, would we? Drinking. We wouldn't dream of not giving our kids a drink. Because without drink, we'll end up dying. And just like we need drink regularly, we need God's word regularly, often, if we're going to grow. Now, I'm conscious that many of us here are making new beginnings in their life. Some of you are new to Australia. And you're making a new beginning here in Australia. Some of you are new to the area. And you're making a new beginning here in this area. Some of you are beginning a new life, like having a child or a grandchild. Some of you are looking for a job. Some of you may be about to retire. And in Mark 4, we see Jesus making a new beginning. He's beginning his ministry. And the way that he begins tells us how we should begin. What sort of foundation does Jesus lay? What's the most important thing to him? Living in a nice home? Looking cool? Beautiful? The most important thing to Jesus is listening to the Word of God and producing a crop in our lives. The most important thing to Jesus is listening to the Word of God and producing a crop in our lives. Now, what's happening here is that Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee. And all these people have come to listen to him. And so many people have come to listen to him that they're pushing him out towards the sea. Now, one of the troubles is that he's getting closer and closer to the sea and he's about to get in the water. We're getting a bit of feedback here. Can we just turn down a bit, perhaps? And as the crowd's pushing to listen to him, he's getting pushed in the water. So in a very clever way, what he does is he gets into a boat. And so he gets in the boat and just a little bit off the sea so that then everyone comes right to the edge of the water to listen to him. And he tells them this parable. And a parable is a story with many layers of meaning. A farmer goes out to sow seed. And as he sows the seed, some of it falls on the track and people trample on it and donkeys trample on it and birds eat it. Some of the seed falls on rocky ground. It springs up quickly, but because it's on rocky ground, when the roots go down, the roots can't actually get any water. They reach a hard place, a tough place. Some of the seed falls amongst thorns and weeds. And as it grows, the thorns kept choking it. It has too much competition, not enough space to grow. Other seed falls on good soil. And as it puts down its roots deep, it can get nutrition and water. And it has space to grow. It doesn't have competition. And it produces a wonderful crop. It's fruitful. It multiplies. And when it's harvested, not only does it produce a crop there and then, but there's enough in it to put some aside for the next year. And so it keeps producing generation after generation over the years. Just put that back a bit. That might make it a bit better for you. You know, when Jesus first told this story, people didn't quite understand it. Even his own disciples didn't understand it. They had to ask Jesus what it meant. And he told them, he explained it to them. He let them in on the secret. He gave them understanding. Now it's just the same today. Many people hear about Jesus, but they don't understand. They think they understand, but they don't, because their hearts are hard and dry. And I want to ask you today, how soft is your heart? Are you really open to what Jesus wants to say to you today? Did you come along to church looking forward to what Jesus would say to you today? Or did you just come along because your wife or your husband brought you or your friend brought you? One of the lovely things is when you come to church early, you're seeing people come early and they're praying and they're asking God to teach them today. And I want to ask you, are you prepared to even change and act as a result of what God says to you today? Because you see, that farmer in the parable is actually Jesus, and he's sowing a seed. And that seed's the word of God, the Bible. And Jesus is actually sowing that seed now amongst us. And how are we responding? Are we like the seed that's on the path? As soon as it's sown, it gets trampled on. The birds snatch it away. In fact, the Bible says there that it's Satan that's snatching it away. So that when someone asks you tomorrow, even tonight, you know, what was the sermon about? You say, well, I can't really remember. We sang some songs, I remember that. Are you prepared and listening to what God might be saying to you today? Or is Satan snatching that word away because you're distracted by other things? Are we like the seed that's sown on rocky places? Oh, it shoots up for a little while, looks all right, gets all excited, but it has no roots. And when it puts its roots down, it reaches a hard place. Trouble or persecution comes. Maybe someone starts teasing this person because they're going to church or because they're reading the Bible. Maybe they come from a family where there's another religion. And people saying, oh, I don't like the fact they're going to Berwick Anglican Church. That's not good. Putting pressure on you. Maybe it's not cool in the group you're in to actually go to church or to a youth group or to a Bible study. And when times get a bit tough, people say, oh, we all know people like that, don't we? And maybe a gentle invitation to come back to church, to Bible study, may be the best thing you can actually do for that person. And we actually even may be in that situation ourselves. And I want to say to you today, it's not too late to come back. Come back to God while you can. Perhaps you're a little bit more like the seed that's sown among thorns. The word gets choked because we don't have time for God. That's, I think, probably the real problem in our society today, isn't it? We want more money, we want more clothes, we want more study to do. We put other things before Jesus. And what's happening really is we're not ultimately trusting Jesus to look after us. even if we are poorer because we haven't worked on Sundays. But the fourth group of people is like seed sown on good soil. They hear the word of God, they accept it and they believe it, and they let it sink into their hearts deeply, and they let it transform them and change them. They have roots, deep roots, and their hearts are open, not hard. The word of God finds nutrition. The word of God finds water and food, and it produces a crop. Do you want to grow? Do you want to produce a crop? Listen to the word of God. Let it work in you. Believe it. Memorize it. Obey it. Live by it. Do you want this church here to grow? Do you want the service that you're thinking about having in the Sunday evening to grow? It'll only grow properly if it's based around the word of God. Oh, you can have lots of marketing. You put it on Facebook and have big signs out there and maybe have really great music or something, some really attractive woman sort of singing the songs or something like that. But if it's really going to grow, it'll grow because of the word of God being taught. Because you see, in the first place, the word of God saves us. So the church actually grows in numbers. In Romans 10, we're told that if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. You know, we're not saved by good works. We're not saved by taking communion, by being baptized, by being in a Christian family. We're not even saved by coming to church. We're saved by faith, by trusting what the word of God says about Jesus, that he is Lord and Savior. And that's why we do all those other good things. The word of God saves us. And the word of God heals us so that we can grow. You know, all of us are carrying deep hurts and wounds. We're all very sensitive to the wounds and hurts in our own lives. Maybe you've been hurt by your parents or by your boyfriend or your girlfriend, by nasty words from other people, maybe at school or at work. All of us get bitter and jealous or angry with the boss or with workmate, and all of us can get angry and let that anger burn away inside us and eat us up. But the word of God, you see, when you know the word of God, that's like an ointment that heals you. A medicine. It's like a nurse that looks after us and cleans us up and feeds us, even feeds us, so that we can be healthy and grow. So the word of God saves us, the word of God heals us, and the word of God comforts us. You know, all of us get tired, all of us get lonely, all of us get discouraged. And we need the word of God in those situations. You know, often in the car I'll put on some Christian music that I've got to encourage me. Maybe a friend gives it to us. Maybe we remember it as a memory verse. Maybe you hear it from a preacher like today or this morning. Maybe you go to church or Bible study and hear it and are comforted by the word of God. So the word of God saves us, the word of God heals us, the word of God comforts us. And then the word of God protects us, so that we can keep on growing. When we're tempted to do the wrong thing by Satan, we need to fight back with the word of God. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 says that when you're tempted, God will always give you the way out. And that way out will often be saying back to Satan the word of God. When people attack us, defend us quietly, defend ourselves politely and quietly with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. So the word of God saves us, the word of God heals us, the word of God comforts us, the word of God protects us, and the word of God teaches us so that we can grow. Because as we're taught the word of God, we learn that God loves us, and that helps us to love other people. We learn that God forgives us, and that helps us forgive other people. We learn that God's given us everything, that helps us to give to other people. The word of God does all those things because it's the word of God. It's living and active because God's living and active. It's not just words in a book. He's written them down for us, sure. But it's the risen Christ who's actually, his spirit's taking those words and making them alive in us and helping us to understand them. Do you believe that?
that just as Jesus was speaking 2,000 years ago to the people on the Sea of Galilee, he's actually speaking to us now through his word. He's risen, he's ascended, and he's speaking to you and me now through his word. And that's fantastic to be part of that. And I want to say to you who are parents here, and there's a lot of parents here, and grandparents too, teach your children the word of God. I mean, it's fantastic. There are these wonderful kids' Bibles these days, the Big Picture Story Bible. They help us to understand the whole message of the Bible. Tell them and teach them the Bible stories. Sing the Bible songs. And those of you who are younger men and younger women here, don't let anything choke the word of God in you. Oh, I know that many people in Australia couldn't care less about God. Well, that's going to be their problem. They just want a good time, so-called. I myself put off becoming a Christian because I thought that being a Christian would limit my lifestyle, so to speak. But I want to tell you straight that actually if you want true happiness and true friendship, then that'll only be by being a Christian. And you are going to be different. That's the point, because you're not living for money or for status or for good looks like others or for sex. We're living for Jesus, our King and our friend. So don't let anything choke the word of God in you. And those of you who are a little older, make sure your whole life, right to the very end, your family, your church, is built upon the word of God. Do you want the church here to be fruitful? Build it on the word of God. That means reading it. That means teaching it, studying it, memorizing it, singing it. Asking Jesus, like those first disciples did, to help you understand it. And one of the key things I want to encourage you as a congregation to do is to send your own people here to good Bible teaching colleges so that they can actually learn more of the Bible and teach other people about it. To support them financially in that, like you've supported Wayne going to Mongolia. That'll mean making sure that there's good teaching and preaching here at your church. That's the way to check whether the church is good. Does it have good teaching and preaching there? Not just as it has good music or looks cool. And one of the things I really want to ask you to pray for is that God would raise up men and women who will take the word of God to regional Australia. Like most people, they want to be where it's stimulating, in the cities. But if you go to the bush, you don't get paid as much. Some people may not find it as stimulating. Mind you, I think some of the parts of our Australia is so stimulating, so wonderful. But we actually need people to actually see that the word of God needs to go right out to the remote, the rural and the regional parts of Australia. I'm really glad that you're committed to your church here and you want to grow your church. And I'm really glad, I'm sure you want to produce a wonderful crop. Well, that crop will only come from hearing the word of God, believing the word of God, and living according to the word of God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you so much for the word of God. Please sow that word in our hearts. Please help our hearts to be soft. May the word of God find deep roots in our heart. May it not be reach hard soil. May it not be choked off. May it instead produce a wonderful crop, both in our hearts, in our families, in our churches, and in our nation. And we ask this for your glory. Amen.